Good evening, folks. It's lovely to be here with you again this evening. I want you to turn in your Bible with the well-known chapter, John chapter 1. Some preachers need you to stick a lot of fingers in your Bible to find different passages, but tonight we've only one page to turn to, so see if you can find it, and we'll stay with John chapter 1 and begin reading. Well, let's begin for a verse near the beginning, verse number 6, and then we'll read more verses towards the end. I'll tell you what I want to do with you as I turn to these verses. I want to tell you about three consecutive days in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we know his life was full. He did many things that we don't know about. But John chooses to pick out some particular incidents in the life of Christ that are important for you and me tonight. And so tonight, we're looking at three consecutive days in the life of Christ. I don't know if they're Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, Friday, Saturday. That doesn't matter. But we'll find out as we go along what these days were and how important they were. But we'll begin in John 1, verse 6, which says, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe." And we'll go down and read about what John said. John, away in the chapter 1 at verse 9, "This is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who art thou?' And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' And they asked him, 'What then, art thou Elias?' And he saith, 'I am not.' 'Art thou that prophet?' And he answered, 'No.' Then said they unto him, 'Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?' He said, 'I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah.'" Down at verse 28, "These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing." Now, if you're looking at the next verse, you'll see day number one in our story is about to begin. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming to him and saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me." And verse 34, "I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." Now verse 35 tells us about the second day. It says, "Again the next day after, John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" He saith unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation, "a stone." And verse 43, you see, is the third of our days. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, "Follow me." Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and in the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said unto him, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip saith unto him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Nathanael saith unto him, "Whence knowest thou me?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." Nathanael answered and said unto him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. We won't go there, but just look at the next verse. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, And the third day, so there's really another day that we won't speak about tonight. Three's enough for tonight, is it not? If I can hold your attention to think about these three important days in the life of Jesus Christ, that'll be fine. I'll try not to weary you. I'll try and make it interesting. And above all, I'll try and make it something that you will follow and realise has meaning for you. Because on these three days, we're going to read about people who discovered who Christ was and decided to follow him. And if you've never made that decision yet, if you've never for yourself discovered who Jesus Christ really is, and if you haven't yet decided to follow him, it's my earnest prayer, and it's really what I'm most interested in, is that maybe even tonight you would make that discovery for yourself and you would decide to follow him. Is that too much to ask for? That's really why I'm here. Anyway, let's get down to our subject. Three consecutive days in the life of our Saviour. Actually, I have to go back one day. I just refer to it in the reading because the day before we are brought face to face with another person called John the Baptist. He was called John at his birth. He became known as John the Baptist because by God's wisdom and guidance, he baptized people by dipping them under the water, mostly in the River Jordan, when they had to confess their sins, because John said, the kingdom of God is coming and you've got to be ready. And as a token of their repentance and their seriousness in being ready for the kingdom, John baptized them. So this man was known as John the Baptist. But the Bible tells us that God sent him for a witness to somebody else. And in the reading, maybe you noticed that people came and asked John, what are you doing this for, John? Why are you doing that? Who are you anyway? And John just said, well, I'm not the Christ. Well, who are you? Are you Elijah? Are you that prophet that was promised? And he kept saying, no, that's not the case. Well then, what are you? What do you say about yourself? John says, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. So John was specially commissioned by God to prepare the way for and to prepare people for someone greater than him who was coming. And what we're looking at tonight is how John introduced this great person, whom now we know is our Lord Jesus Christ, how John introduced him to the people that were there listening to him. So first of all, John the Baptist discovered who Jesus Christ was, and then he pointed others to him, not to himself, but to Christ. And let me just say in passing that a long time ago I discovered who Jesus Christ was, and I decided to follow him, and it's my desire to point others to him. Not to me, don't worry about the preacher if you don't like my voice, too bad. But just remember, I'm here to point people, to point you to Christ in some way, as John was long ago. Well then, let's get down to our three days. On the first day, our story begins there at verse 29, it's the next day after what I've just described. John saw Jesus coming to him. I think it was by the banks of the River Jordan, because that's where John was baptizing. And as John saw Jesus coming towards him, to the crowd around, he pointed to Christ and says, Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he said. He's the one that I've been waiting to point you to. He's greater than me. I've seen God's Spirit descending on him, and although I didn't recognize him at first, I now know that he is the Lamb of God. And he said in verse 34, I have seen and bear record that this is the Son of God. So here's day number one. John the Baptist points to him, points out who he really is. You see, people thought he was Jesus of Nazareth. We find that further down. And Philip said, "We've found him, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Well, he certainly was Jesus of Nazareth, that's where he lived. But actually he was not, as you know, the son of Joseph. He was the son of Mary, but not the son of Joseph. John says, he is the Son of God. And you know, dear friend, that's one of the first things you must realize about Jesus Christ. Yes, he was a wonderful person. Yes, he was born into this world and laid in a manger. You know that story. And he lived a sinless, perfect life. But he was more than a good man. He was more than a great prophet. He is, he was, he ever will be the Son of God. So on day number one, we discover that Jesus is the Son of God. That tells us about where he came from. He came from heaven. In a miraculous way he was born, but he really came from heaven. From his pure and holy and beautiful home in heaven, he came to earth. But the man who came to earth was truly the Son of God. I think you know that, don't you? That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But more than that, when John saw him coming, he says, "Look, he is the Lamb of God." Now that's different. I think we can understand, at least in measure, what it means when the Bible says he is the Son of God. In fact, the Bible is at great pains to emphasize this. It says he is the only begotten Son of God, the only Son of God, and the very special Son of God is he. No one like him. And yet God, who loved his Son, sent his Son into this world because he loved us. But what does it mean when John says, "Look, here is the Lamb of God"? What do we understand by that? Well, to understand that, we really need to think a bit about what these people who were listening would understand. And these people who were listening were Jewish people who had at least half of our Bible. They had the Old Testament. And they had been taught in the Old Testament about the need for a sacrifice before anyone could be accepted before God. And in these long ago days, an Israelite who felt his sinfulness would come before God in repentance and bring with him or her an animal. It might be a kid of the goats. It might be a lamb out of the flock. Most of the time, it was a lamb out of the flock. And this lamb had to be taken and killed, and its blood shed, and its body offered on a burning altar to show that God could not tolerate sin, to show that God would not overlook sin, but to show that God had in mind some way by which sin could be forgiven. And over these centuries that are described in the Old Testament, lamb after lamb was killed, and his blood shed and his body burned. And the Bible tells us that although that was important, it could never really take away sin. It just reminded people about sin and how awful it was before God. When they saw that little lamb being slaughtered and burned, they thought, "Well, that's because I sinned." And down the centuries, that's what happened. And now John points out to these people who knew about animal sacrifices, who knew about the need for a lamb to be sacrificed, there is the Lamb of God. And he will not just cover over sin. He will not just remind you of the seriousness of sin, says John. The Lamb of God will take away the sin of the world. So the Son of God reminds us where he came from. When we think about the Lamb of God, we are reminded what he came to do. The Son of God's home was in heaven. The Lamb of God had work to do on earth. And that work was completed when he died on the cross at Calvary as a sacrifice for us. The Bible says over and over again that the death of Christ on that cruel cross was no accident, was no afterthought. It actually was God's plan, whereby sinful people like you and me could be forgiven, could have our sins taken away completely, could be made ready for the heaven that I hope most of us are wanting to get to one day, and couldn't ever get to by our own works or our own merit, but would get to by simple faith in what Jesus Christ had done, for he died for our sins on the cross. The Bible says that he offered one sacrifice forever and then sat down on the right hand of God. The Bible tells us that Christ died for our sins, that Christ died for us. And so he is called the Lamb of God. So on day number one, John wanted people to discover that this person who suddenly appeared among them and just looked like any other person in many ways, he was different. He was the Son of God from heaven. He was the Lamb of God to die on earth. It was the beginning of understanding who Christ was and why he came. Am I speaking to people who know all this? I suspect I am. But I want to emphasize that you need to be sure in your mind that the Lord Jesus Christ is no ordinary man. He is the Son of God. He is the Lamb of God. And his work had you and me in mind. He died for our sins. So that was day number one. Let's look at day number two, because people were listening to this and you wonder, did this affect them? Did anybody really pay attention? Well, the next day we read, verse 35, John was still there and two of John's disciples, because he had a following. And again he saw Jesus, and looking on Jesus as he walked, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." He said the same thing again. He didn't add the bit at the end that I've emphasized, but he pointed again to this person just to make sure that people got the message. Look, there is the Lamb of God. And this time we read about something that happened to others. Two of John's disciples heard this, and they followed Jesus. They'd been following John. They were really keen on adopting John's message and John's way of presenting it. But when they saw Jesus and realized that he was the Lamb of God, they left John and they followed Jesus. And one of them, we're told, was Andrew. Now, you've heard about Andrew before, one of the 12 disciples we read about in our Bible. And Andrew was Peter's brother. And this Andrew, when he discovered who Jesus was, found it was so exciting, found it was so important, that he immediately went and looked for his brother Peter and says, "Listen, we've found the Messiah, this one that was promised in the Bible, the very Christ of God. We've discovered him." And he brought Peter to Jesus. There were two of them, however. That was one of the two, was Andrew. And in this chapter I'm reading for, the second person is not named. But I have a very strong suspicion that I know who he was. He's actually the man who wrote this story. The other John, not John the Baptist, we know about him, but the other person was John, who later became a disciple of Jesus. And my suspicions that this is true are based on the fact that when John writes all of this gospel, he never refers to himself. He sometimes speaks about himself as that disciple whom Jesus loved. You see, I think John was so taken up with the greatness of Christ that he didn't really want to speak about himself anymore. So that's why I think that on that day, the two disciples who followed Jesus were Andrew and John. And Andrew found Peter. And later on we'll find that John had a brother called James and others who also followed him. So what's the point about day number two? It's really this, that after they discovered who he was, Andrew and John decide to follow him. They decide to follow him. They make a life-changing decision. And first of all, when the Lord sees them following, he asks them a question. He says, why are you following me? What are you coming for? What seek ye, in the words we read? What is it you want? And they simply said, Rabbi, Master, where do you dwell? Where are you living? Interestingly, the Lord didn't give an address, the number and the street like we would do. You know what he said? Come and see. Come and see. You see, if we are serious about following Christ, we'll need to come and see about him. He will reveal himself to those who follow him. He doesn't give you a code of rules to follow. He doesn't give you an address, as it were, of a place. He wants you to be right beside him. Come and see where I am, what I am. And we read that they did. They came and saw where he lived. And they stayed with him that day. I would love to know what they discovered, but the Bible doesn't tell us. They spent time in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whatever kind of home he had. I don't know what it would be. I guess it was very simple. I guess it was very basic, because the Bible tells us often that the Lord had nowhere to lay his head. He had no home to go to. But somehow, these people came and stayed with Christ overnight. And what a lot they discovered about him. So Andrew and John are following him now on day number two. And they found out where he lived. But they also found out what he was. Oh yes, they'd noticed, they'd been told he was the Lamb of God, the Son of God. But did you notice that when Andrew found his brother Peter, he says, we have found the Messiah. They found out that this one, maybe they discovered it by staying with him overnight, we've found out that he is the one who was promised in the scriptures. The Messiah means the sent one from God. And God had promised to send into the world one day a Saviour, a Messiah. And here he is. He's come. And so Andrew and Peter follow Christ. Find out where he lives. Find out what he really is. And they're blessed. Now let's look at day number three. On day number three, it's a bit different, because this time Lord Jesus himself goes towards Galilee. John the Baptist isn't in the picture anymore. And so the Lord leaves perhaps the banks of Jordan, where he may have been, and moves toward Galilee. And as he goes into Galilee, notice the coin is turned on its head, as it were. Instead of people finding Christ, Christ now goes and finds Philip, somebody else whom the Lord had his eye upon. Down towards Galilee, he finds Philip, and he gives him a command or an invitation. And he says to Philip, follow me. And Philip did follow. And then Philip did something else that's almost like what we read before. Philip finds somebody else in Galilee called Nathanael. And Philip says to Nathanael, we have found him of whom Moses wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph, is this great prophet that God promised to send into the world. We found him. But Nathanael wasn't going to take that on. Nathanael says, did you say he was Jesus from Nazareth? Can any good thing come out of that place? It appears that Nazareth had a rather nasty reputation. I wouldn't want to compare that to any place in our district, because I'd be sure to offend somebody if we said, oh, I don't like that place because so and so. But Nazareth clearly had a reputation for evil, so much so that Nathanael says, is it possible that any good thing can come from Nazareth? And you know what Philip said? Come and see. Come and find out for yourself. And so he came, and when Nathanael came to the Lord Jesus, the Lord says, Here is an Israelite in whom is no guile. Here's a sincere man. And Nathanael is taken aback as well. He might be. And he says, how do you know about me? He just met Christ for the first time. How do you know about me? I said, the Lord, before Philip ever spoke to you, I saw you sitting under a fig tree over there. And Nathanael says, Rabbi, Master, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And Jesus says, well, but you're believing because I said, I saw you under the fig tree. As you truly believe in me, you will see greater things than these. So on day three, Philip and Nathanael are found. It's not so much that they find Christ, but they are found by Christ. And they find out what the Lord Jesus knew about them, particularly Nathanael. They found that this one, Jesus of Nazareth, he was called, had such a knowledge of them that he could tell them things they didn't even know about themselves. They found out what the Lord knew. And they also found out what was promised through him, how he was promised in the law and in the prophets. This is him, Jesus of Nazareth. But, says Nathanael, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Now think about these two titles. Jesus of Nazareth reminds us that he was despised when he came here. The Bible says he was despised and rejected of men. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, says the Old Testament prophets. Jesus from Nazareth was the despised man who lived on earth. But says Nathanael, Rabbi, you're the Son of God, you're the King of Israel. Now that's different. When Nathanael recognized that he is the King of Israel, he's reminding us that the story isn't finished. He's reminding us that this one, the despised man from Nazareth, is going to be glorified as a king when he comes again. And says the Lord to Nathanael, do you believe now? You will see greater things than these. And so we discover tonight several people who discovered who Christ was and who deliberately decided to follow him. First of all, because they discovered who he was. They discovered what he came to do. They discovered the kind of person he was, and they discovered what he promised to those who follow him. So, my message tonight to you is about finding and following. Have you found Christ? Have you discovered who he really is? Not only as a person, and that is important, but have you discovered what he can do for you? Have you found that he's the one who can deal with your sin? A big problem for us all, that nothing else and no one else could deal with. I mean, I talked about sacrifices and things that were done in temples and tabernacles long ago, which are religious, which were following a ceremony that couldn't take away sin. So what Christ offers is not a religion. Is not a lot of ceremony. What he offers is his own personal guarantee that if you trust him, the sacrifice of himself on the cross will take away all your sin. A verse of the Bible puts it this way: the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. The potential is there that the Lamb of God, who bears away the sin of the world, can take your sin away. He can do it. But for him to do it, can I put it this way? You need to allow him. He needs your agreement. He needs you to recognize that you need him. You see, these people we're talking about, they didn't know about Christ. And they came and found out who he was, found out what he can do. And I'm saying to you tonight, have you found out who Christ is? And do you know what he can do for you? How can you find out? Well, listen, you see these little phrases I tried to emphasize before. The Lord said to Andrew and Peter, come and see. Come and see. Philip said to Nathanael, come and see. If you want to find what Jesus Christ can do for you, the Bible doesn't ask you to follow a code of rules, to follow a religion. It simply asks you to come and find out for yourself by putting your faith in him, how he can take away your sin, how he can deal with the deepest need that's in your soul. Come and see. There's another verse in the Old Testament that's kind of similar to this. It says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, come and see. Taste and see. If I change tack for a minute and ask you to think about some particular foodstuff that I would offer you, I could tell you that this is worth eating. I could try to describe what it tastes like, but you would never know what it tasted like until you came and tasted it. And this is the same with God's offer of salvation. It is available, I could try to describe it for you, but to find out what it's really like, you've got to come, you've got to taste, you've got to take. It's like other words in the Bible, believe and be saved. You know, a verse in the Bible says that, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. But you won't be saved if you don't believe. You won't find out if you don't come. And then another version of the message that Peter preached one day, he says, repent and be converted. Repent and be converted. Turn away from your sin and receive conversion. And if you don't repent, you'll not be converted. Or to come back to our chapter, what we're looking at tonight, decide and follow. Make up your mind that this is the person that you need for salvation. This is the one that you want to follow. But you need to take a step. They say that every journey begins with the first step. And so you need to take the first step. Decide to follow Christ. And when you follow, you will, like these people that we've read about, and like many people in this gospel hall, and many people the world over, if you decide to follow him, you will find out that he will do for you, as he said, greater things than these. The promises he makes are for this life, and the blessings of this life to those who trust Christ are truly great. For example, he will give you forgiveness of sin. He will give you deep joy in your soul. He will give you peace with God. And many other things here and now are the portion of those who trust him. But there are greater things than these in a world that's yet to come. Because as you know, we're all only in this world for a wee while. And the time will come when we have to leave this world and pass out into eternity. If we were left to ourselves, we'd pass out into an eternity of loss and remorse in a place that the Bible calls hell. But if we trust Christ, if we've been following him, trusting him, making him our own Saviour, the greatness of heaven can hardly be described. It's better than anything you can imagine. It's greater than the greatest thing you would ever wish for, to be home in heaven. Is greater than can be imagined. And how do you get there? By coming and seeing. By tasting and seeing. By believing and being saved. By repenting and being converted. By deciding and following. So that's my message tonight from these 3 days in the life of Christ. For people who discovered who he was. Decided to follow him. I hope you've made that discovery. It's the greatest discovery you can ever make. And I hope you've decided that you will follow him, trust him. Remember how he loves you. Remember how he died as the Lamb of God to take away your sin. You just trust him. and follow him, and come and see what he will do for you, both for now and forever. May God bless you. Thanks for listening. Let's pray. Our Father, we give thanks for thy word that we've read from. We give thanks for these things written that we can read and in measure understand. We pray that we'll make them real to us tonight. As we think of these people from long ago, whose lives are over long ago, and now they're in heaven because they trusted and followed Christ. May there be a lesson for us, each one of us tonight, that we may be sure that we're on that way that leads to heaven and home, that we're following the blessed Saviour, that we've trusted him for forgiveness and for eternal salvation. Bless us then as we conclude our meeting. Be with us in the days ahead and watch over us in all the things we may yet have to do. But most of all, may we be sure that we have found Christ and we're following him all the days of our lives. So we pray and ask thy blessing in our Lord Jesus' precious name. Amen. If I was to ask you to choose a hymn out of the hymn book that was in keeping with the things I've tried to say, I wonder if you'd choose the same one as I've chosen. It says, following Jesus ever day by day, nothing can harm me when he leads the way, darkness or sunshine, whate'er befall, Jesus, the shepherd, is my all in all. And you won't know the number, it's 610. I think we've time to sing it all, a beautiful hymn. I have a shepherd, one I love so well. 610, please, and then the meeting is over. Thank you.